Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week my guest is the recent winner of the Audio UK Award, Nicole Logan. Nicole has had an incredible career already, and in the summer started a new role with Goalhanger Podcasts as their executive producer development. Since then, she's developed what is now the number one podcast in the UK. The rest is classified. I congratulated Nicole on the Audio UK Award, and I asked her if she knew she was receiving it or if it was a total surprise.
It was an absolute shock. I had not a clue. I think it was the first year they've decided to do it as a surprise. I'm always happy to be the test bunny in all things. So I had absolutely no clue. I didn't really realise until they started mentioning things like, oh, when they joined Reduced Listening, I was like, well, that is only me. There's only one person that has all of those things in common.
Because sometimes with those special awards, the people know, don't they, beforehand. But
yeah,
I thought it probably was because when you went up to the, I saw the video of when you went up to the stage and you did look a bit shocked. But then you did the coolest dance ever.
Oh, God, no. Honestly, that was a nervous tick. You know, when you're playing for time, I think the theatre kid came out of me. I was like, I'll perform. It'll be fun. I wouldn't recommend doing that again. I wouldn't have done that if I'd known, let's put it that way.
No, I thought you were very, very cool. How did you feel on the night?
Yeah, I felt really humbled, actually, and quite emotional. It took me till the weekend to actually process how I felt about it, because I think I was mainly surprised. I'd literally come to support my colleague, Anushka Lewis, who is up for Best New Voice. So I'd literally come to support her. I was a judge at this year's awards as well. I tend to be a judge at the APAs, but not every year do I go. But this year, I thought it'd be nice to represent my new company, Goalhanger, and to support my colleague, so who's sort of making her first big steps into industry. And she won, which was lovely. She won bronze, so very happy for her.
So let's talk a bit about your career then, Nicole, and your career journey. How did you first get into the industry?
Well, my first job in audio, specifically, first paid job, I did the traineeship at the Roundhouse in Camden. So I was their trainee station manager. But before that, I'd done my time at student radio, both in the UK and during my time abroad in the States. So I rep CSRFM in Canterbury. That's where I did my time there. And I was also a sort of volunteer presenter on Roundhouse Radio before I started working there a couple of years later.
This is Transmission Roundhouse, and you ended up running that, or joint running that station, didn't you, for a while?
Yeah, so I was station manager. I was their sort of first proper salaried role station manager, and I worked at the Roundhouse in total for about 5 years. 4.5 years. I left in 2020. I think it might have even been my fifth year anniversary. And so during that time, we sort of went through a few different iterations, from a linear radio station with a breakfast show and a drive time show and an evening show, to being a specialist music and content show, and then straight up to the pandemic becoming a podcast network. So we'd gone through lots of iterations because the output was professional and it was for audiences to engage with. But actually what Transmission Roundhouse was, and what the Roundhouse in London do, is they're a charity that support young creatives aged 18 to 30 to get their first steps in the industry. So we were just as focused on supporting the producers and presenters into the industry as we were on their output, which was a very lucky place to be. So some of the people that I've worked with that are now complete powerhouses in their own right. Cherise Hamilton Stevenson, who's now a journalist over for Channel 4. Harrison Stock, who's a producer at Radio 1. Frankie Wells, who's gone on to start and run the incredibly successful Foundation FM. Lucy Kinghorn, who also produces at Radio 1. Anushka Tate, who's produces Happy Place with Fern Cotton, one of the sort of crown jewels in British podcasting. They're just some of the ones I can name. I'll just leave it there because there are so many of them that have gone on to have these incredible careers. Yeah, it was an incredibly exciting place to work, and it's been incredibly exciting being a really early part of all of their journey.
It was quite an early time for podcasts while you were there as well, and I know you won a British Podcast Award whilst you were there for Project Pleasure.
Project Pleasure. Yeah, so that was Frankie Wells and Anushka Tate. That was quite a big deal for us as a tiny community network, really. I would also say this was before the British Podcast Awards became, I'd say, much more mainstream. I don't know whether they would have won if they were in the category this year. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. But to go into something which was a big, shiny podcasting award before we even had that language. We didn't have that language. What I responded to as station manager and what the wider leadership team of the department responded to was that we were being told by broadcasters and the commercial sector that young people didn't care about speech-based content. They only cared about music. But what I was hearing working with all of these young producers, who are all grown-ups now, but at the time, young producers, was that they really wanted spaces to talk. They really wanted to explore things and share those stories. And we have that language now, it's a podcast, but that didn't exist really and truly. So we were making what I was calling speech to radio. So we made specialist music and specialist speech, but actually what we were making is specialist music radio and a bunch of different podcasts. When Someone's Great Is Gone, that was a podcast that came out from us. Izzy, who's now an assistant commissioner over at Radio 4, The Green Room from Waylon McKenzie, who's an incredible art house documentary maker and runs his own studio, Queer Ear by Rory Boyle, who's also now at the BBC. So honestly, it was just this incredible training ground for people to make the content they really wanted to make, and then also use that as a proof of concept for them to then go and get their first, second, third jobs in the industry. I know it launched a lot of people's careers, and so I'm just really honoured to have been a part of that.
It sounds like you've been so pivotal in the start of a lot of people's careers. How does that make you feel, Nicole?
Do you know what? I don't know if I would say that. Maybe if other people said that, I would be very humbled.
Other people have said that to me. They've cited you as an influence, and I can really see why now, because of all that early work that you've did. I feel really proud of you. I hope you feel proud of yourself, because it sounds like you were
Georgie,
just...
That's so nice.
Well, we've known each other now, haven't we? Like, getting on for 3 years.
A very long time now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's just an amazing start to your career so far. So from Roundhouse, you went on to Reduce Listening?
Went on to Reduce Listening. So I met Joby Waldman, who's the managing director of Reduce Listening, when we started Multitrack together. Myself, Deborah Dudgeons, Lisa Hack, Arlie Adlington wanted to start this audio program. We wanted to start something which helped people get into the industry, and obviously because I'd come from that space, come from the third sector audio space with the Roundhouse, Joby was like, you'd be great at doing something like this because you'd know what to do, which is true, because I did. And then through working with Joby on that, when it became time for me to actually move into the professional sector instead of the third sector, I honestly just went to Joby for some advice. I went to, because I respected him and I loved the work that he did. I wasn't angling for anything. I just wanted to have a conversation about what options were available to me. But luckily he was, you know, this was also 2020, deep, dark pandemic times. And they were really looking at expanding their podcast offering. And so I came to them, you know, when it was like a fixed term, part-time role, just to find my feet, really. And the role luckily expanded and grew with me as I really found my way in development, which at the same time at podcasting, development is still a relatively new part of the podcasting industry. It's more familiar to people coming from TV or theatre or film, but in audio, not so much. So a lot of that work became about strategy, also came about talent development. It also came about really listening and understanding audiences. And my background is definitely theatre. That's what my degree's in. I spent some time in theatre. I also spent some time in arts marketing. So it brought together a lot of areas that I was really familiar with and I also really enjoyed, so especially with that talent development. So at Reduce Listening, I worked on a range of shows. I always say justice for nailing it, because the work that the host did and the team did off camera was honestly exceptional podcasting. And I think if it had been given the chance to run, it would be in a very successful place right now. I really, really believe that. But also a range of like specialist music content. And I found my love for specialist, especially classical music programming. So working with the team at Radio 4 and Philip Rappaport on what's now become Radio 3 Unwind, and having so many of our titles go over to that stream. So Ultimate Calm, The Sleeping Forecast, Piano Focus, titles that I'm so proud of the work we managed to do there.
Oh, I use The Sleeping Forecast all the time.
Yeah.
To go to sleep. Yes, I love it.
Oh, great. I'm really happy to hear that. It's just really like really innovative, playful work. And I don't think a lot of people think about specialist music in that way, but being really audience driven and really youth driven is relatively new in the UK audio sector. If you work in other parts of the media, advertising, design, youth and art are together, but in audio, we just haven't got there yet. So the work that the team at Radio 3 were doing with some of those titles was absolutely radical. And so to be a part of that was wonderful. And then I also got to work on Giles Peterson on Six Music, which, let's not lie, he is one of the leading broadcasters in the country. He's like a titan of industry. And that was honestly just an honour, because to see the best to do it, do their job with such ease and understand how his mind works and how his deep love for music, I think, has informed the work I now do, working with some of the most influential and well-known specialists and broadcasters in the world. I think I'm only able to go into some of those rooms and chat with some of these people because I've been shown how to do that with someone incredible like Giles Peterson, or all the hosts of Nailing It, quite frankly.
Well, that brings us nicely to your new role. And it is relatively new. You joined Goalhanger in the summer, executive producer in development for Goalhanger. And you mentioned there that you're now working with, I mean, some of the biggest podcasts, certainly in the UK, if not the world. And yes, regularly, aren't they, in the top 10? It's a massive, massive brand now. Tell me a bit about this new role then. What is the executive producer in development? What do you do?
I think in lots of ways it sort of does what it says on the tin. So we're incredibly fortunate at Goalhanger for the strength of the brand and how much audiences love the brand. It's like, it's wonderfully overwhelming and really humbling, and I think I can definitely speak into what the wider team think, because we are just in awe of how much people love the work and the work that the hosts do. So I just wanted to touch on that first. But I'm using that incredible amount of privilege and goodwill from listeners to be able to launch more shows in that space. And so I lead on what's to come. I'm leading on our expansion, obviously taking a steer from our founders on the things they're passionate about, whether that's a new slate of shows, whether that's new interesting schemes that we're really well placed to put into the world, to support people and support talent, and what our other brands look like. There will definitely be more Restors shows, absolutely. We're launching one, the Restors Classified, and that's the first show for my slate making its way into the world. So incredibly proud of that. David McCloskey and Gordon Carrera hosting a show about espionage and spies and political intrigue, and it's a really great show. But we're also looking at expanding our audiences. We want more people to love our work. There's definitely a core Goalhanger listener, and I want everyone to be a core Goalhanger listener. If there isn't a show for you right now, hopefully in a year there will be a show that you love, and it will come from us.
Welcome to The Rest Is Classified, Goalhanger's latest podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of some of the great moments in the history of spies and espionage. From the hunt for Bin Laden, North Korean secret services robbing banks, right back to the role of the CIA in Watergate, as well as Kim Philby in the Cambridge Five.
I'm David McCloskey. I'm a former CIA analyst, now turned spy novelist. I've written for the President's Daily Brief, worked at CIA headquarters at Langley and in field stations around the Middle East. And I've gone from writing in the espionage business to writing about the espionage business.
I'm Gordon Carrera. For 20 years as a BBC security correspondent, I covered the biggest spy stories in the world, from the 9/11 terrorist attacks through the Iraq war, the Edward Snowden leaks, the Russian poisonings of Alexander Litvinenko and Sergei Skripal, right up to the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
We know how this world works. We've been in the room when the big decisions are being made, and we can take you there.
So as you are developing new shows, new talent and so forth in this role, what is a common mistake that people make when they come to you and they say, I've got a great idea for a podcast?
Oh, that's such a good question. I would say for us specifically at Goalhanger, they start the sentence with, I want to do The Rest Is. insert literally anything. I've had it all, actually. And I've only been there for 4 months, so I always feel really bad for our founders, because they get it every single day. I think a lot of people think if you stick three words at the top of a word, that will turn it into a hit. And for us, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Obviously, that brand has an incredible amount of power now, but for us, there is something else that makes a Restus show or a Goalhanger show, and it's actually got very little to do with the name, actually. And then I'd say more widely, I think people that don't listen to lots of podcasts can never understand their USP. So if you're not listening and you don't know the market, it's going to be quite difficult for you at this stage to know what you can bring differently. And I think that speaks to more curiosity than anything else. Yeah, so it's always really obvious when somebody is pitching me something and they think it's really new. And I'm like, well, there's actually 8 other shows that do that incredibly well, and they're incredibly popular. So I'd definitely say that more widely. And then I'd say the other thing, which maybe is slightly more controversial, is I think sometimes people hold onto their ideas too tight, or they run before they can walk, I think. Collaboration is the most important thing. And so if you're so obsessed with retaining 100% of the pie, you will have 100% of the pie, but the pie actually in actuality might become much smaller. What we're able to do and the scale that we're able to get to and the opportunities we're able to give our hosts is incredible, but that's because we share in the ownership, we share in the fruits of that labor together. So often I'll have conversations with people and they'll say, but I need this, or I won't give you this, or I won't do that. I'm like, well, that is fine. You're actually completely entitled to do whatever you want. And if that is your deal breaker, I will absolutely respect that. But I think if you're pitching to someone, you're asking them to believe in you and your idea, but you also have to create space for them to bring something to and share in that ownership.
From Transmission Roundhouse, when you won that first British Podcast Award, to now and winning your Audio UK APA Award the other evening, that's been about 10 years, I think, roughly, 2015 up to now.
Roughly.
How much have you seen the podcasting industry change in that 10 years?
I mean, it exists now. It's an industry now. It wasn't an industry before. And there were positives and negatives to that. I think I've been able to build a career out of podcasting. I wouldn't have been able to do that I wouldn't have had a career in podcasting in 2016, let's put it that way. I had a career in radio. And I think a lot of people have moved into that space. I think that podcasting is changing the world. They called this year the podcasting election. That is insanity.
Yes, the US election, they called it that, didn't they? Yeah.
Podcast election. It will be won and lost on the strength of a couple of American shows. That is insane. And that is completely unthinkable sort of 10 years ago. And I think that speaks to the power and the influence that podcasting have in people's lives that TV used to have before and radio used to have before that. People are spending all day with it. They're building relationships and friendships with the podcasters, but also with each other listening to the show. That's the most wonderful thing. So we have a show at Goalhanger called We Have Ways, and we have a festival every year, and people have come together. There have been marriages because of it. I'm not sure if there's been a baby, but if there isn't a Goalhanger baby yet, there should be.
old
friends traveling from all over the world to come together. I will put that call out. If there's a Goalhanger baby, so 2 people that have met because of Goalhanger, please let us know. It would make us so happy. We'll see what we can do. That's my call out. I want to know who the first Goalhanger baby is. But I think that speaks to like the strength of community that we've built from the show. You know, 30,000 people joining the rest is politics. Absolutely on tour. Absolutely unthinkable a few years ago. I think the sad thing about that is that for all of those wins, there are some losses. And one of the things I loved about podcasting is that it felt really like DIY and radical and like zany and punk. I think some of that has been lost because now it is industry, it's big business, it's hundreds of millions of pounds and dollars. It's a lot of stake here. It's countless jobs, and there's still space for that, and there's still amazing people doing brilliant work there. But it makes me sad when I see some of that being squeezed out as people try to compete with the beasts of industry.
Nicole, thank you so much. It's been a joy. It's been lovely. And congratulations again for
thank
that award too. The other evening.
Thank you.
Well, I guess the future is your new role with Goalhanger and developing more podcasts.
What I would say is that I think who I am professionally and my core values and the things I care about don't change in the role I'm in. Often I make the role fit the things I care about. I can't see this being any different, in perfect honesty. And I'm very grateful to be able to say that because I think we share the same vision for supporting talent and supporting excellence and supporting people to do their great work. And I know that's what the team at Goalhanger really care about. And I'm excited for us to do that in a number of ways. Firstly, with hopefully what I think will be new chart-topping shows. And then we'll see. The rest is history, as it were.
A big thank you to Nicole for being my guest and congratulations again on her award. The podcast show returns to the Business Design Centre in Islington next May. Tickets are on sale now and members of the Radio Academy can receive an exclusive 15% discount. Just log on to unlock the member's discount code. And if you're not already a member, then visit our website to find out all about membership, radioacademy.org. Please like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods. And if you fancy leaving a review as well, then it all helps and we really appreciate it. I'll see you next week.